Our scripture reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. We hear this word. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act. For he is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. The word of our Lord. Are you familiar with the biblical story of the prophet named Jonah? One day, as the story goes, Jonah received a call and commission from God to go to Nineveh, the heart of the enemy territory, to warn the hated Ninevites that they were in imminent danger of divine judgment and to call them to repent. Well, if you're familiar with the story, you already know Jonah's response. He hopped a ship in the opposite direction. However, as is always the case, the hold of the Lord on Jonah's life was unyielding. And so this half-hearted prophet himself repented, headed for Nineveh, and held a citywide tent revival. Needless to say, Jonah's crusade brought in far more converts to the faith than he'd expected. Now, perhaps we'd expect him to break out in song or a song of praise. But ironically, Jonah didn't think that it was such a joyous occasion. In fact, he thought it was just the opposite. You see, the magnitude of God's mercy proved displeasing to Jonah. And then the story says, Jonah became angry with God. Imagine that. What fascinates me most about this is the attitude that Jonah displays. Because frankly, I don't think it's all that foreign to each of us and all of us. Jonah would have perceived the people of Nineveh as his enemies. And what we want for our enemies is certainly not that they be blessed with God's bountiful mercy and goodwill. Rather than see our enemies redeemed, we'd much prefer to have them go to rack and ruin. It's a kind of jealousy that wants nothing less than to set very strict limits on God's love. And we assume this position every time we expect the Lord to be more severe in judging the sins of others than we anticipate for ourselves. And we often find it difficult to delight in the repentance and redemption of those we define as worse sinners than ourselves. If we're honest, we'd rather see them burned than blessed. Someone once glibly remarked that we should act out of nothing in furious passion because, after all, it's like putting to sea in a storm. But we still do it, don't we? Feels so right to retaliate when we've been wounded, doesn't it? Nothing is quite so bittersweet as the taste of revenge. We willingly exchange blow for blow with those we perceive to have broken trust with us. And how quickly we look for ways to pay off old scores whenever former friendships turn sour. Do you recall feeling that way? Are you feeling that way even now? The truth is, it's painful, isn't it? And it's also problematic for a number of reasons. The most obvious reason being that such bitterness, such unchecked resentment, has this way of making us mean-spirited and even malicious. With time, over time, it begins to harden the heart as a callus of indifference encases our character. And sooner than we think, we can become the kind of person other people would like to avoid. And there are occasions, certainly we already know this, don't we? There are occasions when such storms result in doing damage that can't be repaired. Oh, maybe we attempt to patch things up, but between ourselves and the other, things are never quite the same. Time after time, the hope of any genuine reconciliation breaks up on the rocks of an abiding resentment. A resentment just beneath the surface of all that we think and do and say. So some beaches widen until it would appear no bridges will ever be built to last or that can span them. And that, you understand, is at least one reason we should be grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in particular, that portion of today's lesson in which Jesus said, "But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate." It sounds terribly idealistic, doesn't it? I mean, for most of us, this apparent command of Christ is beyond our reach. How could Jesus ever expect us to live up to such an unrealistic demand? Well, perhaps we should begin with the recognition that these words of Christ are gospel. That is to say, they're good news. In other words, they're not so much about what we are capable or incapable of accomplishing under our own power. They are, however, about that which Christ makes possible in the power of his Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us exactly what he means in those now famous words. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Christians living under the lordship of Christ are empowered to act and not simply react. We just can't afford to allow our affections and attitudes to be shaped and determined by the hatred and hostilities that are unleashed on us. What we can do is commit our wounds to Christ and then release our resentment, release our bitterness, and release our desire for retaliation into Jesus' nail-scarred hands. Look, as God's people, we seldom quarrel with him about the measure of mercy that he extends to us. But isn't it surely also the case that we cringe and smile through clenched teeth at the mere suggestion that God might display similar mercy to those that we just can't stand? I'll tell you what I think is the issue here. Apparently, God's gracious and forgiving treatment of others leaves the work of judging unattended. So, guess what? Well, we assume that we must take up that slack. That's what. We're not all that comfortable in a kingdom where parties are thrown for wasted prodigals and people who repent, who were bad to the core before. We're not all that ease with a God whose graciousness exceeds all reasonable limits. So if we want our world to be different, I suppose we'd better release our bitterness and resentments into the hands of our Redeemer. Whenever, however frequently we feel them. It's just not possible to do that on our own. We must submit to the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who knows absolutely nothing of retaliation and only of redemption. Ridiculous? Not really. Redemptive? Most assuredly. An embittered woman once responded to those same words of Christ by saying to her pastor, "But pastor, they're hard. They're painful." To which the pastor responded, "You're right. They are. And Jesus has the scars to prove it." Amen.